verse number 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service. You know, there was always order in God's church. Amen. And a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. So we're talking about a sanctuary that was set up in the wilderness. Most every one of us have had teaching on the tabernacle plan in the wilderness. I taught a Bible study this year with a man who has been in church all his life, but it's a denominational church. And as I taught the lesson, I could just see his eyes just open up because he had never been taught this at all. And how it was a sanctuary, it was set apart, and there were certain things. There was an Ark of the Covenant, it was gold, and then there were certain things that were put in the Ark. And then if you would go to Numbers, the 10th chapter. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 33. They departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemy be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." Lord, we beg for your anointing tonight. Not that man would get any glory, but you would get all of the glory. That our ears would not only hear, but it would lodge within our hearts and understand the relevance of what you put in the Old Testament and the New Testament concerning a path to you. We give you the praise and the glory. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When sometimes we hear the Ark of the Covenant, we think, well, okay, I've got this all set in my mind. I know exactly what he's going to preach on, and I'm going to try to make a very, very simple message complicated tonight, or is it the other way around? I'm not sure. Someone asked me this morning, they had seen some kind of documentary on a treasure that was found in, I think it was the Caribbean, and they suspect that it could be the Ark of the Covenant buried underwater. And so, Pastor, tell me, what do you think about all of that? And I said, well, I don't know, but I doubt it. He said, well, where do you think it is? And I thought, well, you know, they have the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, and it's a church that is built over the place where Abraham took his son to be sacrificed, and it's a holy place now. It's occupied by the Muslims, not Israel. And some would perhaps think that the Ark of the Covenant is way beneath that church. But I said this to him. I said, you know, I don't think God has allowed anyone to find the Ark of the Covenant or the tablets or the pot of manna or Aaron's rod of budding, because when we find something like that, we have a tendency to want to worship the object rather than worship the God who created the object. we have a tendency to want to build something that we can touch and see and worship because of our lack of faith many times. When we were in the Vatican in Rome years ago, they had a life-size statue of Peter made in bronze, and it was set on a pedestal about this high. And when I went up to it, you know, it had sandals and regular feet, and the one toe was half the size of the other one because people were kissing the toe of Peter because they transferred their emotion to a statue instead of a God that's invisible. And so we find that it's hard for us to give our affection to someone that's invisible. But I want to tell you tonight that I found the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm hoping that it makes the papers tomorrow morning, because I'm going to make it very clear to you where the Ark of the Covenant is. This is the first time in Numbers in the Bible that the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned. And the first words that are associated with the Ark of the Covenant were, "The Lord went before them." It was to search out a place of rest. Wherever the ark is, there is a place of rest. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there's going to be a place of rest. People come in here with anxieties and they walk out like, whoa. You know, I've said this before, but when I got the Holy Ghost, I went home. And I remember thinking there were a bunch of people who came because I had been seeking the Holy Ghost for something like 3 months. And it was like I was all by myself. And if the house was on fire, it's, well, somebody really ought to call the fire department, because I didn't care about what was going on around me. I was so enveloped in the presence of God. There's a rest there that is so incredible. And when the ark was set up, when God was put first, the enemy was scattered so the people could rest. We have a shepherd that causes us to lay down in green pastures. He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And when we put God first, nothing scares us, folks. If we know that we are really living for God, we don't have to be afraid of anything. When we put the covenant first, you see. We could spend a lifetime studying the gold-covered box that was carried before the people. Wherever they go, it's power, provision, conviction, and reprieve that accompanies the presence of God. So turn to Exodus, the 25th chapter. Exodus chapter 25. And verse number 10 says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without, shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, and the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee, and thou shalt make it a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make the one cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims in or on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on a on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandments unto the children of Israel. You see how specific God was in concerning making the ark of the covenant. It was the picture of God's presence. It was the picture of where we would obtain mercy. There are so many shadows and types that are especially directed at our generation. In fact, let's turn to it. 1 Peter, the first chapter. First Peter 1 and verse number 7, we read some of this morning. Verse number 7, it says, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and search diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Now, the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets of the Old Testament, is what it's saying, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So what it's saying is all of those things that they were doing back in the Old Testament, they were shadows and types, but really they didn't understand it. But we have this perfect picture of Christ in the tabernacle plan and our relationship with him and how specific God was in order to create this Ark of the Covenant. Each of us in is sort of a work in progress like this tabernacle covenant. An ark of the covenant, if you will, we're that shadow or type. There were specific dimensions and specifications given to building this ark. There were specific dimensions and instructions on the ark that Noah and his family were saved in. There were specific instructions on the Passover. If people didn't follow the instructions of God to the detail, well, then the angel of death would not have passed over. They wouldn't have been safe in the ark at Noah's flood. And so they had to line up with what God said they should do. The same is true for each and every one of us. Yes, God is very, very particular about where he takes up residency. There must be a refinement to our lives. Certain dimensions that must be adhered to, not our specifications, but his specification. It's good enough. I'm sure God understands. We'll just go this far. No, I'm sorry. God's saying, listen, this is something more important than a gold box. This is more important than Solomon's temple. This is something that I want the whole world to see, and I mean you need to follow it. Moses was commanded to take a common wood box while still in the wilderness. That's us, folks. A common wood box when we were in the wilderness, and cover it with pure gold on every side. There had to be some refining going on in the camp. There had to be somebody who was willing to sacrifice in order for there to be pure gold that was covering this simple, ordinary wood box. In fact, perhaps they had to have some battles with the enemy in order to take some spoil, in order to use the gold that they got, in order to line the box on the outside and on the inside. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could it be that when we're going through the trials, that God is putting the gold on the outside and he's putting the gold on the inside for each and every one of us? And it doesn't come easy. Gold doesn't come easy, folks. Here is where the refined gold is applied to the common man, that it should be found unto honor and glory to Jesus, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Back in the wilderness, God gave his people an object lesson. They couldn't see God, but they could see an ark of promise. They could see something that represented God. Now it was covered in refined gold, and angels hovered over it wherever it went. It had to be carried, and it had to be done exactly the way God specified. They were searching for God in the wilderness and needed something tangible, something physical. And today, you know, we see not by sight, but by faith. And we need to have our eyes of faith elevated in order to see some things. Now, over the years, you know, there have been people who God has just opened their eyes to incredible things in another dimension in this place. And that's a wonderful thing. We had a message that came in prophecy this morning. It was absolutely incredible. These are the things of God that become more tangible to us as we're seeking after God. To have a better understanding of God, to have a better understanding of salvation, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. They put the Ark of the Covenant together just as God instructed them. God gave them specific instructions just as God had instructed. No one has the authority to change the dimensions or the instructions. No pastor, no priest, no denomination can say, well, we don't do it that way any longer. No, no. It's God with the plans, the specifications. Not knowing that what they were doing would ministered unto you and I. Consider then that each of us is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant has been found. The Ark of the Covenant is the church. Everybody is looking. There was a movie about the lost Ark, and everybody thought that that was just so incredible and so deep. But you know what? We have been found. In fact, God puts us on display all of the time. A work in progress to be an object lesson for all of the people in the world to see. Exodus 30 and 6 tells us that the ark is the ark of the testimony, and we each have a testimony. We are a testimony of what God put together. I'm not what I was, and neither are you. God took this ordinary box, and he started covering it with gold inside and out, and he put a testimony in each and every one of us that should shine for the rest of the world. The word ark in the Hebrew simply means a box or a container, and we then become the container of the promises and the testimonies of God. We stand out from the world. The word covenant in the Hebrew means a compact, a legal binding arrangement between parties made through the passing between pieces of flesh. That's exactly what it says. In other words, there is no covenant without the tearing of flesh or the shedding of blood. And so there cannot be a Ark of the Covenant without the tearing of flesh and the shedding of blood. So we can't be saved by a handshake or accepting the Lord. Blood must be applied to the box, or we're not the Ark of the Covenant like the Ark of the Covenant was in the Old Testament, where the blood was poured over. Well, when we're baptized in Jesus' name, there is a blood that is poured over us because there is a passing between the pieces of flesh. And now angels are stationed around us because the most valuable thing on the face of the earth is the Ark of the Covenant, and I be one. You are one. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Well, the Spirit of God was on that Ark of the Covenant. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Glory to God. Not only does God want this temple, you and I, to look good on the outside, but he wants the temple to be lined on the inside with pure gold as well, with the precious gold of trials of our faith. But God wants to put some things inside to keep us as his temple and to ensure the covenant he has with each of us. So God put his word down inside of us, just like he put the Ten Commandments inside the Ark of the Covenant. He puts the word in our heart. Psalms 1 and 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." As long as we have the word in the ark, in this box, in this container, God says, whatever you do, it's going to prosper. And I won't be moved because I've got the word down inside of me. I've hid it in my heart that I would not sin against thee. You see, we can't ask for the manna or the provision of God without having the law of God in us first. I like that book, but God, I need this and I need that. I'm sorry, I can't bring the golden pot of manna and provide for you until you regard the word of God like the Ten Commandments. God has also put an endless pot of manna within each and every one of us. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus, the 16th chapter, please. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 32. "And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generation, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept." Jesus becomes our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, the great I am. He has put that provision within each and every one of us. Revelation 2 and 17 says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." And so as we overcome these trials and situations, God puts a provision within us. We should be able to ask what we want because we are the Ark of the Covenant and his provision never runs out. God knew that his temple could not function without power. And so in the Ark of the Covenant was put Aaron's rod of budding, and there was more miracles that happened with that rod than anything else. So he put this rod of authority and power within the box, and he puts that rod of authority and power within us. And as a result, we don't have to get to church to see a miracle. We have that rod within the Ark of the Covenant or in this gold box, and we can see miracles that happen. The word is in us, and the provision is in us, and the power of miracles is within us. Where's the Ark of the Covenant? It's sitting in the congregation of the righteous. Hallelujah. All Aaron had to do was hold up the rod. It brought water forth out of a rock. We can't run properly without some kind of power within us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have power that you can't see. It's Jesus that's living inside of me. We are walking Ark of the Covenant. We need to go by the specifications that God has given us. And then we fulfill everything that was in the wilderness, in that tabernacle plan. And we're not going to be looking for anything else to complete us. In fact, we find in Acts 1 and 8, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." We're the golden box that speaks. We're the golden box that has power. We're the golden box that has provision for the rest of the world. We have the word of God, and God anoints that we can speak that word. Hallelujah. And on top of it, our God has angels stationed over the box. These precious golden covered earth vessels are there for our benefit. Ministering spirits, the Bible calls them in Hebrews, the first chapter. They're ministering spirits that are bowed over the Ark of the Covenant. As Brother Kevin said, how many angels are in this place tonight and this morning? We can't see them, but we know that they're there. God has mentioned it so many times that they're dancing with us. They are rejoicing with us. It is at the mercy seat. None of us deserve it. But God sends his angels anyway, and we find that we have mercy. Turn with me to Psalms 91. Psalms 91 and verse number 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, where is that secret place? We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Not everybody had access to it, but you know what? The world has access to us. You know, the Bible tells us that after the rapture of the church, after 7 years, the saints of God are going to be coming back to fight with Jesus in the Battle of Armageddon on white horses. And we're going to get complete victory. And then God is going to set up a kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. And he's going to change everything. Amen. Now lions are going to be walking around with our children, because all viciousness of animals are going to be gone. I was saying to my wife the other day, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it changed everything. It limited their life expectancy on the earth, and they started to progress and get old. But you know what? They weren't afraid of any of the animals in the garden before they sinned. There weren't animals eating other animals in the garden before they sinned. But all of a sudden, everything in the entire world changed, and there was viciousness within this world that wasn't there before. But now, when God comes back with his saints, everything's going to change. People are going to live long lives, 600, 700, 800 years. And says a baby will die at 100 years old, according to Isaiah. That all of the animals' viciousness will now be taken away, and all of the pestilence and all of the weeds are going to be gone. It's going to be more like the Garden of Eden was at the very beginning. But one thing will happen is that the saints, those of us who have been raptured and come back again, we have no limit on our age whatsoever. In fact, we won't have any limit on anything whatsoever. We're going to be able to walk through walls and appear where we want. We'll be able to eat and don't worry about your diet. You people who are on diets, hallelujah. Why aren't you clapping your hands? Hallelujah. We're going to have a body fashioned after his glorious body. We'll recognize people, and there are going to be people who are saying, there's a saint. There's one of those saints with the glorious bodies. Michael Jackson, eat your heart out. Michael Jordan, eat your heart out. All you movie stars, you got nothing going for you, but because we are the ones that they're going to focus on. Wow. Wow. They can walk through walls. They'll never die. They never get tired. If they want to sleep, they can, but they don't have to sleep at all. You see, glory to God. It's a reality. The Bible says we're going to live and reign with Christ, and we're going to judge angels here on earth for 1,000 years. I mean, somebody ought to decide that they're going to live for God. And here's what it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. I'm dwelling in a secret place. You see, I am the ark of the covenant that has been lost, and now I am found. I was nothing but an ordinary box, but God put pure gold over me and in me. He's put the word of God in me. He's put a provision of anything that I knew. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I got power. Greater is he that is in me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There are angels that are bowing over us, just like the Ark of the Covenant. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the dark, nor for the destruction that wastes at noontime. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the rewards of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a throne. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. I'm the ark. I'm the ark of God. I'm the temple of God. I've got all of the things that were in the ark. And when we have overcome this world and the enemy of our soul has fallen, when that happens, God is going to gather all of his boxes. He's got a collection. He's got big boxes and small boxes, and he's going to gather all of his boxes and take them home. All those that have been tried, covered with gold, empowered and provided for, those that had angels hovering over them and love his word, the ones who received the promise of the ark because of the flesh being torn and the blood that was applied to them, well, he will take them to heaven. That's where all of the precious things belong. Revelation 11 and 19 says this, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony." One day, we're going to be open to streets of gold. We're going to see things that eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the imagination of man, the things that God has prepared for his arks. The Ark of the Covenant. Where's the first one? I don't know. It really doesn't matter to me. I don't think God will ever reveal that, at least to us. But you know what? If the world is really looking for the Ark of the Covenant, Indiana Jones, here I am. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And if you get near us, God might just jump on you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. You know, I've been seeing a lot of geese around. But if for some reason a goose came over to my house and laid a golden egg on my porch, I'd take real good care of that goose. I wouldn't lend them out to neighbors. I'd feed them the best of the best because I'd want that goose to keep laying golden eggs. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a golden box. And what we need to do is appreciate it and take care of it and understand the true value of being what God has ordained us to be. Amen? Glory to God. Don't open the lid to a stranger. Keep the word of God in there. Keep the provision. Keep the power. Don't let anybody take it away. There are so many false prophets and people who would try to talk us out of the things that God has instilled within us. But then we're not the ark that we're supposed to be if some of those things are taken away. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?